Are we alive and awake and ready to hear a short, good message? Okay, ready? Romans 8, please. Romans chapter 8. The text is Romans 8. And we're going to look from verse 11 to 15. And I'm going to have you read it right in your seat to yourself or out loud. I mean, if you want to. I mean, just to yourself, read Romans 8, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Can you do it? You take a minute and read it to yourself, then we'll read it together. And please put it up on, there it is. Yep, thank you. Verse 12. This is the verse that I'm really looking at. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. That's our theme today. That's the message. Then verse 13, yep. And 15, yep. All right, did you read it? Did you read it? Now explain to your neighbor sitting next to you what you read. This is putting the pressure on you guys. Not on me up here. No, not on me right now. But no, just what does it say? What's it mean? Are you interested in it? Hey, that's a good point. Are you interested in the text? Are you interested in the message, you know? Hey, I want you to participate with me, you know, and be in the text, in the message, okay? Good. It'll happen. Okay, let's roll. Okay, here we go. We have two natures in us. God is holy, pure, true, wise. Wednesday night, I got to share something with you. It's amazing how in this church, I feel the Lord gives words. And he gives us words and messages. And how easy it is sometimes just to sit here and receive a message from the Holy Spirit that you are feel led in the message. I have to say that's such amazing. I can sit home and be studying with my books, but I don't know the message. But when I come here and I sit here, I get the message. And it happened Wednesday night. It was God recovers all. People lose things. We are losing our money. We lose our health. We lose our things. We lost the Garden of Eden. We lost holiness. We lost God. And then God recovers all. That was a beautiful message on Wednesday night. But I say this to glorify God, really to say to the glory of God, God answers prayer. Pastor Eugene said they had a group of men praying last night. We had at my house also a group of people, maybe 10 people, and we had a season of prayer in my study room, small, five of us maybe, and it was beautiful. We had prayer together, and we prayed for the Bible College and prayed for different people. How many remember Billy, who used to sit over here? Billy, anybody? And his brother? He amazing worshiper. He had an accident at work and his foot got crushed, and for a year or so working on it, tried to save his foot, but then finally it was amputated. And I think of him, but I haven't seen him, and I haven't called him. I know Pastor Jason has, but it's in my heart I got a lot of those things that I have to do. I want to do them. But a lot of those things that happened. And life with us as a body. We are a family. We love. When they weep, we weep. When we rejoice, we rejoice. Yeah. This is a new life for us, and it's beautiful. Okay, chapter 8, verse 11. We need to read it out loud and read it a little bit slowly. Ready? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does He? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also restore life in your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I'm like, my mortal body is wilting, and the Spirit quickening me. I believe this. I believe this happens in life. I believe it doesn't happen once. I believe it happens as a way of life, that the body quickens us, makes us alive with His life. The Word is good for our flesh in Proverbs chapter 4. It's health to our flesh. Same, the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal body. We become alive to God in our mortal body, the mortal body. In some religion, the body is a bad thing, like in Hinduism. In our religion, the body is a gift of God. We are not glorifying the body, we glorify God, but God quickens our mortal body and uses it, though death is in it and sin is in our mortal body. That's why when you leave your body, you leave it without sin. You have no sin. It's over and gone. But sin dwells in the body. But are you a debtor to your sin? Or do you owe allegiance to your sin nature? Or are you to obey your flesh? Or are you to be loyal or accountable to your sin nature? This is verse 12, isn't it? Yes, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are debtors not to. The appetites of my flesh are strong. And they say, you need to do this. This is what you must do. This is the desire, the appetite. This is important for your ego. This is important for your fleshly desire. This is feed the animal. You know, feed the lust, feed the desires. And we should step back from that and say, I don't know you. I don't know you anything. I'm not a debtor to you. I don't have to obey you. I don't believe in you. I don't believe you have the good end game. You have immediate pleasure, but the end game is a lot of trouble. I see where it's going. I'm not a debtor to you. And this is a very strong and important message for us. Because we have both natures, our flesh. But verse 11, if you go back to verse 11, it's like an argument. He's saying, but if the Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead dwells in us, that same Spirit that makes our body alive and holy unto God. Like, look at your hand. Like, my hand is now a holy hand. My ears are now holy ears. The eyes are holy eyes. Our life is now another kind. Because if the Spirit that raised up Jesus dwells in our mortal body, then we are not a debtor to our old sin nature. Now, there are a couple of illustrations I want to give. Just briefly, just jot them up here. The temptations of Jesus in Matthew 4 are a good example of how he was not a debtor to the flesh. Are you hungry, Jesus? I am hungry. Turn these stones into bread. No. Hey, we got to learn to say that word. No. Okay? We need to learn to say that word. That's important. Pay up, the flesh says. Pay up. You're hungry. You know you have a sex drive. Pay up. You know you need that. You know you need that. That's the lie. That's my flesh talking and say, you're a debtor to me. You have to pay this. You have to do this. So as we have done that as sinners, and we have submitted to our flesh and done it, we have found ourselves in the many ways to describe it, but we have found ourselves searching our hearts. We have found ourselves disappointed. We have found ourselves self-aware. We have found ourselves somehow apologizing or guilty. We have found ourselves disappointed with ourselves. We have found ourselves in our flesh. We have found ourselves like thinking, okay, this is who I am. I am a sinner, and I'm disappointed with myself, and this happens to me all the time. This is normal for me. This is my life. I'm disappointed with myself. But this message is contrary, completely different from that. Go to it. Please leave it up there. Okay. Romans 8:11. Go to verse 12. Therefore, now this is what I love about the Bible. Like every word, he makes an argument and he brings it to our life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to pay or allegiance to or obedient to the appetite or move to like submission. I have to do this. I'm tired, you know? After all, I'm tired. I have no option. I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'm tired. Well, this is what we're saying. Before you talk in those terms, and I mean, I'm generally making a point. Before we are submitting ourselves to the natural man, let's think again. Maybe I have a capacity that I don't know about. Maybe I have something in my life that I can discover about God. Maybe I can find to be holy is not that hard. Maybe I can find that the same grace that saved me is a grace that is with me and leading me and guiding me in a new way of living. Yes, I am tired. He gives his beloved sleep. But at the moment, I have to believe that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can also take care of my mortal body. That somehow the temptation could disappear. That somehow this argument regarding my body, not just my body, but my psyche, my soul, my ego, protecting myself, covering myself, lying about myself, misrepresenting myself, hypocrisy, and the way of life of my flesh, you know, don't let anyone know about this. You have an allegiance to this. You have to. You cannot afford to be open and transparent. You have to. You are a debtor to your flesh. And we are saying no. The Bible is saying no. Go to the next one, please. For if all of you live after the flesh, all of you shall die. And this means, as I sin, and we all know how this works, as I sin, I feel the death of the sin. I feel it in my psyche, my soul. I find it in my shame, my guilt, my drawing back, my fears. I find that to be death, death of my soul. I lose my creativity. I lose my freedom. I lose a sense of my dignity. I find I lose the holiness. I lose God's presence. Though he will never leave me or forsake me, but in my experience, I find that I am more inclined to talk about my trouble than I am to talk about God and his grace. I'm more inclined to say, you know, it's really tough. You know, I'm wrestling with this thing. I've been wrestling with this thing for years. And the Bible is saying, I'm not a debtor to it. I do not need to be faithful or partaking of that. Okay? So, but if all of you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, all of you shall live. Go to the second temptation, and we will finish this up in a minute. And this is the Second Chronicles, interesting story of 25. Second Chronicles 25. There was a king of Judah who hired an army for 100 talents of silver. Now, I just asked Pastor Steve what that is in today's money, and he told me it's $1.65 million. That's what he hired the army for. This is verse 6. He hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So, I think you got the, do you understand that? There's a king. He's afraid of an invasion. He hires an army to reinforce his army so they can deal with the problem. And a prophet came to him and said, what did you do? He said, I hired an army for 100 talents of silver. And the prophet said, cancel it. And the king is saying, well, what about the money? And he goes, God can take care of that. Cancel it. Let's read it. Verse 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if you will go, do it. Be strong, and for the battle God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 1.6 million which I have given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Take the loss. Take the loss. Take the hit. Take the loss. Why? God. Yeah. Whew. Wow, I love it. Come on, I don't have that kind of guts. I can't take the loss. I can't do that. I did it, and I'm a debtor to this commitment. I got to go through with this. I can't back off. I started this thing off, and I got to see through it. But the man of God said, God is not in it. Forget it. Take the loss. Wow, that's tough. I think it's very common for us to get into something and we say, I got into this. I don't see any way to get out. And God will say the word no, you know. He will say, get out and say no to it. He'll say, drop it. Walk away. Quit you like men. Stop it. Forget it. Drop it. Don't obey it. Do my will. Trust me. Follow me. do it. That's all. Go to the next verse, please. Go back to Romans. I think, what is that, the English Standard Version we're reading from? I'm not sure. I'm using the King James. The screen is. Okay, hello, anybody? Okay, here we go. Verse 13. For if all of you live after the flesh, all of you shall die. But if all of you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, next one, all of you shall live. Next one. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. This is kind of new for me. I want to learn this. Led by the Spirit of God. Not the ways of man, but led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to be led by my culture. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to be led by human understanding. I want to be led by divine revelation. I don't want to be led by what is natural. I want to be led by prayer and faith and the Spirit of God. I want the Spirit of God to lead me. Isn't it good? I'm a debtor to my flesh. No, I am not a debtor to my flesh. I'm mortifying my flesh through the Spirit and the Spirit of God leading us. And this he leads us in love and in faith. Yeah, but what about the 1.6 million? The Spirit says, Holy Spirit says, I could care less. I could care less. You don't know what I will do for you. You don't know how I will lead you. You don't know how much I will bless you, how I will help you, I will protect you. Come on, walk with me in this. There are people that don't give up their sins because they don't have any option. They don't know how to do it. But we have options. We know we are learning how to do it. We're learning to live by what he has said. This is a very simple Bible text. And it's written there very clearly. Look at verse 15, please. For all of you have not received the spirit of bondage. My flesh brings me into bondage. And my troubles and my fears in life. Forget about it, the flesh. Forget about it. I'm not obedient to it. I'm not living by it. I'm not caring. It's popular in the world to talk about the flesh, think about the flesh, and obey the flesh. But this is another message. For Jesus Christ came into the world, not only that one day we would go to heaven, but he came into the world so that now we could taste and see that God is good. Partake of his holiness. Experience his blessing. How many blessings we have in our lives. It's unbelievable how much the Spirit leads us in liberty. Let's go. It goes, we are not subject to this bondage to fear. But all of you receive the spirit of adoption. This word adoption means like the bar mitzvah in the Jewish faith, when you're 13 years old and you become a man. By the way, in Hebrew, there is no word for teenager. Like we have in our culture, we have the childhood, then we have the teenager, and then we have an adult. But they have childhood and then adulthood. And there is no teenager there. But this is the word adoption, meaning that we become, not just when we're saved, we're little babies, but we are now men. We are now bar mitzvahed. We are now like responsible. We are now have to stand in the gap. We now have to show up and be there before God as priests, as ministers, as dads and moms, as men and women. We have grown up we have become mature. It's like a gift given to you. When we are led by the Spirit, we become these grown-up children of God, and we say, Abba, Father. This is whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's our life now, our new life. So, that's it. Boy, sometimes I think I have to obey my flesh. I don't know, it comes to me sometimes. But I have to say, no, I don't owe my flesh anything. No, I'm free to be led by the Spirit and free in worship and in faith and in the body, free in ministry and receiving. We are free. We are free in giving and taking a loss. They say, you know, if you do this, you're going to lose your job. You know, this happened, as a pastor, I've come across this, where people that have refused to do something dishonest for their boss are told by their boss, if you don't do this, you will lose your job, and I will hire somebody who will do this. And you could say, I'm not a debtor to my flesh. Do what you have to do. But I'm not going to live in sin. I'm not a debtor to my sin nature, whether it's from you or anybody. I don't have an obligation. I can believe in God and follow Him, and He will take care of us. And there are many good examples of the good end of that and also the suffering end. Let's finish with that. Here's a good story. I've told it before. We had a brother in the Middle East, was moving oil company, an oil family, very wealthy family, was moving them as his job. He was moving furniture and so on. And they lost a very valuable ring in the move. And the owner said, we've lost a ring. Nobody knew where it was, or was it stolen, or what happened. But this brother, who was in our Bible college, found the ring in the dirt or somewhere. He found it, and he brought it to the owner. And the owner took it and said to him, who are you? And he said, I'm in Bible college. I am. And the man who had authority said, I want to send you to school in Scotland to learn the oil industry and so on. So the brother said, I'm in Bible college, but I want to go to Bible college. So he went to Bible college, and then the man kept his eye on him because of the honesty and integrity that he found in that young man. And he trained him, and that brother is in the church in Moscow and has that beautiful story. You know, when I owe my flesh, that's bondage. But when I live in the Spirit, I am free. And another story on the negative end is that if you do not deny Christ, you will go to prison. I will not deny Christ. I am not a debtor to my flesh. I'm not a debtor to you. I'm not answerable to you in that sense. In my conscience, I'm answerable to God, and I cannot deny God. I cannot deny Christ. And so to jail he goes. As he goes, it says, we are led by the Spirit. So it brings to mind another short story. This is a true one. I got to tell it. It's kind of late, but it's just so fascinating. It's true. We had one of our Greater Grace pastors in Nepal walking along the road, hitchhiking, and a man in a motorcycle with a box on the back seat of the motorcycle stopped to pick him up. So he picked him up, and he said, could you hold this box? So they're riding along, and he's holding this box. The police stop them. They arrest the man who was holding the box, because in the box was a protected animal that was, like, illegal to have in possession. So they sentenced him to 5 years in jail. And his name is Beam. That's his name. He's a Greater Grace pastor. So he goes to jail. He had five kids at home, and we were helping him kind of support his family and feed his kids while he was in jail. But when he went to the jail, there were prisoners in the jail started clapping. And they said, "Why are you clapping?" He said, "Because we were praying that God would send a pastor here to the prison." And by the end of his time there, there were 60 believers in the prison meeting. You know, they were meeting. Okay, so, hey, listen, I'm a debtor to complain. No, I don't need to complain. I can praise God and be led by the Spirit of God. Hey, my troubles are real. You don't know how real they are. I know they are, but you're not a debtor to your flesh. You are led by the Spirit and cry out, Abba, Father. You might say, yeah, but you don't know the situation I'm in. I understand, but you're not a debtor to your flesh, for the same Spirit that raised up Jesus raises us up and quickens our mortal body and gives us the Spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. We are not a debtor to our flesh. That's the message today. Hallelujah. Would you stand up with me and praise God? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say whatever you want to. Okay. An altar call. Ready? If there's anyone here this morning in this assembly or listening online that is now I come to Christ by faith, come please today and believe in him. You do not need to live in your sin, and also judgment on us is everlasting fire, being lost in hell forever. Incredible. But you are saved by his grace through his Son. Come in Jesus' name today. Believe in him. Come today in Jesus' name. Amen.